boys and girls. This is your old pal, Stinky Whistleteeth. This is a song about a quail. No! This is a song about being happy. That's right. It's the happy, happy, joy, joy song.
Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, happy, happy, joy, joy. Happy, happy, joy, joy, joy.
I don't think you're happy enough.
Hello, welcome to the Henchman Lounge Podcast, Episode 3, and I am Captain Frugal, and this is...
Henchman Number 1.
And today we got a new batch of topics to discuss. First off, I think we'd like to start with Arrow. Just a little bit about Season 4. Not a whole lot of detail about it yet, but potentially some new characters involved, and good old Green Arrow is actually, they call the first episode, I think it's going to be called Green Arrow. So they might potentially start calling him that, and he has a new superhero suit.
Yeah, it looks very Batman-y.
Yeah, I didn't think about it that way. it does look more brutal. It looks more tough.
Yeah, it looks like the Christopher Nolan Batman. He's more like Black Arrow as opposed to Green Arrow. There's hints of green, I guess, on that costume.
Yeah, it looks like a lot of dark green, maybe in some browns, which are earth tones. I think that's quite fitting to the character. Yeah. I think this is also a good segue today for the review I'm going to be doing in a little bit. Okay. Or actually, not a little bit, I'm sorry, the review I did already. And you can see that on our website, Green Arrow Year 1
review. Okay. Green Arrow Year 1.
Yeah, for the trade paperback, it's the first 6 issues of the series. Feel free to check that out. So ultimately, yes, Green Arrow will be back, possibly some new villains. They're hinting at possible Birds of Prey. Characters in there to spin off, maybe, who knows.
Well, they've had Huntress in there, they've had, let's see, Oracle wasn't there because there's no Batgirl yet. Maybe they'll do a Batgirl series.
Yeah, who knows.
There's a Supergirl series coming out. So.
Huntress is coming back for an episode, I believe they say, too.
Okay.
Alright, now to shift gears, because we've been talking about comics, especially in the first 2 podcasts, so we're going to put this one a little bit more of a mix. What games are you playing now?
Well, I'm currently playing The Walking Dead on the Xbox 360.
Not the Survival Instincts one, but the Telltale one, correct?
The Telltale one, which is fun and creepy, and if way back when you ever had those Choose Your Own Adventure books, this is sort of like a Choose Your Own Adventure book, but it's a video game. With consequences where the characters actually remember the choices you make. And you have to make hard choices from time to time. It's really compelling. I mean, the characters are really engaging. The story's very compelling. I think the graphics are okay. They're kind of like 3D animated versions of like the comic book.
Yeah, cel-shaded.
And that's a lot of the positive. The one little negative is it gets glitchy, especially when you're being attacked by zombies. You're like, wait, no, don't glitch.
Have you found it that you've gotten killed a few times because of its glitching?
Yes.
Yeah, I got killed on Nowhere. Didn't even show me how a few times I played.
I have been munched on by zombies. So I've just kind of come to expect it while I'm doing it. So.
I played all the way through it as well as the extra bonus material that was on there too. And I will have on our webpage soon my evaluation of the game, my review of it, as well as currently that's probably one of the next ones in my line that I'm going to be doing a review for as well, is for that 400 days or whatever it was that was afterwards.
Right. Which I have, because I got like the Game of the Year edition, but I picked it up used, so I'm like, hey, sweet.
Same here. And I loved games so much, it makes me want to go out and get the next one.
Yeah, but I think you said there are bad things about the next one.
Well, no, that's the Survival Instincts. It's going to be terrible. The next one's just a continuance of this.
Okay.
It'll actually take what you've done in this one and use that for the story for the next one.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. I'm pretty usually a wait-and-see kind of guy and take my time and get it when it's a little bit cheaper, but this one's still a little bit high and pricey. But I tell you, it's really making me want to get it.
Yep. Like you've mentioned, Grand Theft Auto, what, 5?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. I want to go get that when it gets used, but right now it's too expensive.
Yeah, I snagged it. I got it for free with another PlayStation when I got it. Matter of fact, I have a Epic Fails video up of that on our site as well. So I've been loading our site up, evidently.
Yeah, it looks like a fun game to explore after you're done playing it.
Currently I haven't broken out anything quite yet. I've been actually playing another one. I've been going back and playing with my brother because he hasn't finished Dead Island yet. And I've already been through it, but I've been knocking around with him a little bit. But the next one I'm looking forward to do is on PlayStation Vita. It's the Vita Uncharted game. So I'll probably be hitting that one next. And I've been playing a little bit on PlayStation 3. Not very much, but just here and there. I've been taking a break from a little bit. Believe it or not, Wheel of Fortune.
All right.
Yeah, my little one likes it, so I thought it's a good learning experience for him. So who knows, I might do a Let's Play and put a video up or a review or both on that as well.
Good way to learn spelling.
How true. Okay, well, you know, that's very, very good point. That's one of the reasons we're doing it. Is there any games currently you're looking forward to playing next?
I picked up a couple other used games. One of them was like the Justice League fighting games. I can't remember which one it is.
Injustice,
that's
oh,
what it
sweet.
Is. But I got like the Game of the Year version, but I picked it up for like $5-$10 used. I was like, oh yeah, I gotta have that.
I have it on Vita, it rocks.
And it looks like it'll be fun. Maybe at the very least just if I want to plug something in. I don't know, is there a story with that or not?
Oh, absolutely. It tells you right from the start there's a story. It's a good one too. It really is. And actually as you play through it, you play different characters on the campaign. That unfolds the story, so they did a good job. Matter of fact, while we're talking about Arrow a little bit, since you got that version, which I do as well,
right.
You're going to also get, instead of the regular Green Arrow, you also get the TV version of Green Arrow on it, too,
oh, wow.
Which is voiced by the actor as well.
Oh, wow.
I beat the game with every character. I nerded up on it.
Okay. So it's possible to win it with every character.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a good game. As a matter of fact, the story will make you, holy crap, the Superman is just pushed to the edge and pretty much says, I'm going to rule everything. And there comes a point later, I don't want to spoil it for you,
right.
That Captain Marvel steps up to him a little bit, or Shazam now, because they can't call him Captain Marvel anymore.
Right.
Just wait until you see how Superman responds to that. So, yeah. Okay, any other games?
I have Assassin's Creed 3, which is set during the Revolutionary War. So one of the things you see when you get off the boat is like Ben Franklin saying, hey, if you find my lost letters. I was like, okay. But I thought, he's not busy drinking and womanizing. I thought, I guess I could help old Ben Franklin.
Now, I'm probably the one person on Earth I have never played an Assassin's Creed game.
They're all right. I mean, they're good time waster games. You just want to sit and play around. But I didn't get the first one. I got the second one, Assassin's Creed 2. And Assassin's Creed 3, they're just sort of fun time waster games. I actually met the actor he's the actor that they modeled the Assassin's Creed guy off of at the Motor City Comic Con up in Detroit. So I had him sign a copy of my Assassin's Creed 2.
That's cool. Yeah, and let's see here. I've got actually quite a pile of them I've been looking into playing at. I've still got Batman Arkham City I haven't played yet. Far Cry 3. There's also another Far Cry one I have that came with the bundle. I forgot what it is, like an 80s themed one, the sci-fi. Mm-hmm. I look forward to doing that. Man, I have several other ones I have even. Yeah, I got a pile. And for some reason, I also feel like breaking out some old school Atari for some reason right now.
Well, you could do that if you need a Yars Revenge fix.
Yeah. I got the flashback, and I got an original 2600 as well. So.
It still works.
Absolutely.
Ah,
it sure does.
Sounds like ancient.
And then this weekend, I'm one of those one people on Earth again. I've never played Halo before.
Okay.
I tried Halo 1 for the first time. I downloaded it, the trial version for the computer. You know, I don't see what all the fuss was about. I didn't care for it that much.
I don't know. I think it was just the first person shooter at the time it came out, because the first one was like 2002, 2003.
You know, I honestly couldn't tell you.
I don't know. But it was a while ago.
And maybe I'm being too harsh because I'm, you know, expecting like first-person shooter more today. But you know, you look at that time, there was Quake 4, I think, and things like that. And they just looked fabulous. That one to me just seemed like it was okay.
Yeah, it seemed like a Quake knockoff kind of thing. So I was like, but I think it's because it was for television and the Xbox, whereas Quake was more of a computer game.
Okay.
Which I think there's a new Quake coming out.
Ooh, there is a new Doom, and that one really gives me Gamer Wood. Because it is one brutal hack and slash game.
Yeah.
You can look up on that, and they have a trailer of that, and they show them shooting. They break out the chainsaw, which is always awesome. At the end, the guy gets pounced on, and this creature rips his arms, rips a character's arms off and beats him to death with it, which was just awesome.
Yeah, that'll leave a mark.
All right. This might be one of our shorter podcasts. Secret Wars updates. Any Secret Wars updates?
I picked up Weird World, one of the little many spin-offs that Marvel has. And I wasn't in love with the artwork. The artwork just looks like it's sort of sloppy, photoshoppy, watercolory kind of art. I mean, it's not terrible, but it's not great. But the story I like, because it's set with Archon, who's one of the Marvel characters, who's set in some kind of weird post-apocalyptic world. There's like ogres with, you know, plasma guns and dragons and, you know, apes and diving costumes. And it was just like, it's just so weird enough that I thought, okay, I'm interested enough to pick up the second one. Not in love with the art, but the story and the idea of it, I like.
Man, 231, what'd you do? You smell like poo. What happened?
Oh man, you wouldn't believe it. I was on my way looking over here and I stepped in a big pile of Ron Mars comic books. I mean, holy crap, you can't get that stench off you.
Well, why don't you go ahead to the shower and I'll have Henchman 167 grab you a cold one out of the fridge, okay? Hey, 167, go grab 231 a beer while he washes that crap off himself.
Okay, boss, I'll make sure I'll get right on that. I'll get right over there to the refrigerator, okay? Mm-hmm. Sweet, yes, I will. Hey, guys, I think we got a problem. There ain't no bear in here. Oh, my. All there is a dead woman crammed in the refrigerator. Sweet Jesus.
You gotta be kidding me. Who'll be stupid enough to do some stupid crap like that?
I mean, I hate to say it, and sad to say it, this is the first time in over 20 years I have no Marvel books on my pull list.
Right.
I've looked at their site and looked for things to get. And there's nothing that jumps out and says, I really want this right now. Just sort of scares me.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, because Marvel went through a bunch of changes in the 90s. You know, they had like Mark Silvestri and Jim Lee and Todd McFarlane and Rob Liefeld and all those guys jumped ship and created Image Comics. And that kind of left, I think, Marvel in the wilderness, as did DC. And I think the problem then was everybody started trying to mimic Rob Liefeld's drawing style in the 90s. So that and the collector boom, that nearly killed the industry. So where they're at now is I think they're just trying to get rid of all of the baggage in the past and create marketing tools for the movies. But
to put a positive spin on it, it's actually the opposite of what Marvel wants. Secret Wars and things has not been a jump on point for me. It's more of a jump off point, which has caused me to look more at DC books. And I've started reading more DC books lately. So,
and like you said, you read Green Arrow Year One. Was it a trade paperback? Or?
It was, yeah.
So how did that go? Is it the story of Oliver Queen, or is it?
Right, it takes him back to developing how he became Green Arrow.
Okay.
So, it was pretty good. And as a matter of fact, some of the elements are in the television show. And on this podcast, it'll lead me to reviewing a Batman one that I read recently, too.
Batman Year One, or?
Oh, well, that's a good question. great segue. It is the trade paperback, The Dark Knight Volume 1, Night Terrors, from the New 52. It was released July 23rd of 2013. The author and illustrator was David Finch and Paul Jenkins. Okay. Also had Joe Harris, Ed Benz, illustrator, and Richard Friend is an illustrator.
Right.
That volume collects the Dark Knight issues 1 through 9, though the first 7 parts of it were the main storyline. The other ones were just sort of after effects. And a mysterious woman that was dressed as a white rabbit, yes, a white rabbit, enters into the Arkham prison and injects the inmates with a venom. And then an explosion was made from the inside of Arkham, and that released a bunch of the bad guys, Two-Face and things like that. So Batman comes in there hoping that Two-Face doesn't get free, and because that's one of the things he worried about. To his surprise, he was still there. The venom injected into him caused him to take a Hulk-like appearance, and then he referred to himself as One-Face. This breakout also releases other villains, but they are not normal as well. They break out with much more strength, and they're crazier than usual. So imagine out of Arkham, even more crazy.
Right.
So Batman had in this book survives attacks from Bane, Scarecrow, Clayface, and more. When Batman finds that inmates were drugged, the story continued to unfold, and he looks into that as he tries to find out who made the drug and let it loose on Arkham's crazies. In story, Bruce meets an attractive woman, Jaina Hudson, I believe is her name, and then she seems to be more than meets the eye. Big shocker. Introducing a new character right when a story arc goes, that doesn't lead to anything.
Right.
She becomes a potential love interest, too. Because she's attractive, and this is Bruce Wayne. She also seems to have a fascination, of course, for Batman. Who would have thought?
Right.
I won't reveal all the details, but the direction of the plot seems a little obvious. But with still that said, it's a really good read. The lack of a conclusion, though, in this book to the White Rabbit part of the story leaves some maybe wanting more. I thought, wow, they really could have dug more in because they actually leave you with a little bit of a cliffhanger surprise. First, they try to throw you off about who the White Rabbit is because you assume it's that new character that was introduced as a love interest.
Right.
And then it's, it's not. Well, keep reading and see what happens. And in the story, you also get Robin, some Batwoman, Batgirl, Nightwing, Black Canary, Katana, Starling, Red Robin, The Flash, Wonder Woman, and Superman. It was pretty good read. Some pros of the book, the story's good, and the fight scenes are always entertaining in it. The artwork, I thought, was well done. It added to the dark tone of the story, because it was a dark, eerie, but yet, like, with that Alice in Wonderland twist. So, it was very interesting. I mean, it just, the White Rabbit chasing the White Rabbit, things like that. At one point, Deathstroke is in it too, and this was one of the cons. Here's some cons of it. Deathstroke attacks Batman while he's in the air in the Batplane.
I believe I can fly.
How the heck did he get up there and get on it? I mean, just out of nowhere, he's on top of it attacking him.
He's got his new flying powers.
Yeah, now granted, he's injected with this venom, so he's like super strong and nuttier than usual.
Right.
But once again, how the heck did he get on that plane?
Plus, it was gamma radiation and look at a Banner's blood.
Yeah.
Deathstroke smash.
So the main story of this was the first 7 issues. The other two seem more like filler.
Okay.
But they were good too. Overall, I'd give this trade a B+. I'd recommend it to a lot of what stuff is coming out today, especially if you're not too keen into the new twist in Batman, which I'm not knocking right now because I haven't read it. But if you want to read about Batman, I think it's a good alternative if you missed it.
Okay. Sounds good. Sounds fun.
Look at that all. So much positivity today. So your book, you said, was another pickup. The Batman I read is good. Do we want to tackle great art in comics today?
I suppose we can. We could talk about Frank Miller.
Oh.
Because I just don't know. I was like searching around YouTube, searching out stuff about Frank Miller because I've heard he goes on crazy uncle rants.
Yes.
And people have put those on YouTube, so I was looking for those. There's,
he tends to be more conservative, so he gets it hit even harder.
There was a whole series about like the creation of Daredevil, which I thought was pretty cool because it interviewed like Gil Kane and Frank Miller and Stan Lee, and you can see how the different creators, each of them, well, even had John Romita Sr. So, but you see how the different creators, the different artists look at a character like Daredevil, and it just gives you a sense of the different approach. And, Frank Miller, this was at the time because he was talking about it. I think that's when Frank Miller was really getting into his groove and finding it and really taking comics into a new way. And he was really into revolutionizing comics because they basically become, his eyes, and I would probably agree, they became pretty bland. It was just like cookie cutter storylines, cookie cutter plots. And he took this really lame character that nobody was really reading and made it into something. That was the gritty Daredevil that we see in the Netflix series. It is based on Frank Miller's, I think there's like a Daredevil Year One. Mm-hmm. And, the all the Born Again series and all that stuff that Frank Miller wrote.
Yeah, it was a great series. Speaking of which, since we're mentioning good things, they picked an actress for Elektra, and they've got Punisher signed up for that too.
I had a feeling we'd see Elektra in season 2 because they mentioned her, like, hey, you ever, hook up with that Greek chick you saw in that Spanish class?
Yeah.
He's like, hey, yes, all right, Elektra. That's for the super geeks who know anything about Daredevil or Daredevil comics. You'd be like, yay, Elektra!
I don't remember the actress's name. I'd have to look it up. The same with Punisher. I think they chose a good person for Punisher. He was in The Walking Dead the first couple seasons. He was...
Yeah, he'll make a good Punisher because he can play crazy, justified crazy at the same time.
I think he can also portray the beat the hell look.
Yeah, and that. It makes me wonder when the Jessica Jones series is coming out.
Yeah.
And if that'll be any good. I mean, if it's a detective who used to be a superhero, it could kind of be good, but I like Agent Carter, which I was, you know, I surprised by, but it was a good surprise. I think maybe the same will hold true with Jessica Jones.
I hope so, and Agent Carter's getting another season, so that's going to be great. Yeah, Jessica Jones was one of the characters of the group that I really don't care much for, but to be honest, there hasn't been a whole lot about her, so maybe this will make me care about the character.
Yeah, and it seems like Marvel's really paying attention to their television and movies and keeping everything integrated, more so than they are paying attention to their comics anymore.
And cartoons.
And cartoons. I imagine it'll be good. I imagine it'll be decent, but it'll be one of those, come on, bring on Luke Cage, bring on Iron Fist.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or I don't know, other street-level characters that could exist in the Marvel Universe.
Well, I will say, Jessica Ritter, she's a good actress. I don't know if physically she fits the character. I don't really see that, but, you know, probably close enough.
Right.
So, we'll see. And I definitely hope they better plug some little things here and there about Iron Fist and Luke Cage. That would just be awesome.
Right. To go back to Frank Miller a little more, is just, you start to see the pattern. You know, when you look at Sin City and then you look at, because he did, the Batman, and then when he took the Batman, The Dark Knight Returns, it's basically the same kind of concept he did with Daredevil. He made this really gritty Batman. That was really awesome. And then, he kind of keeps playing on that theme. So, there's something he talked about, the movie 300, he was talking about that. And it just made me think again, it was, Leonidas, who's the king in 300, it's basically Batman. What's set in ancient Greece?
I thought about that.
I hadn't thought about it until I watched Frank Miller talking about it. I was like, you know, Frank Miller's kind of a one-trick pony. I don't want to knock the guy, but, you know, he's just got that crazy uncle vibe going about him. But one thing I could say he does is he loves the crime fiction, loves the crime stories, and really likes that grittiness. And I think that works in part with you know, comics and things. But I think the problem is you had two elements. One of them is the Frank Miller, Alan Moore, you know, effect. And then the other is the Rob Liefeld effect that really played in the 90s. Cause everybody thought, hey, if I write like Frank Miller, everything would be gritty and crazy. That'll be really awesome. And it's just like Frank Miller knew how to handle it at the time he handled it without going overboard. And in the 90s, everybody went overboard. Okay. But that's just my 2 cents.
Any other artists out there that make you just go, wow, I need to pick up this book. Cause the art is so good.
I'm trying to think of, you know, David Finch isn't a bad artist. Jim Lee, of course, I still think is a good artist. I'm trying to think of who else.
Bagley's on 2099 right now, which, you know, I'm sort of sad because I was hoping to do another Spider-Man 2099 rather than just like a team.
Right. But I heard that Rick Leonardi was doing some Spider-Man 2099. He was one of the Spider-Man artists of the 80s. And his stuff's really good. I don't know what Ron Frenz is up to these days, but he was another Spider-Man artist of the 80s.
Oh, I loved his Spider-Man work.
I know, it was awesome, especially if you pick up one where he fights Fire Lord.
Mm, oh, yes, the Fire Lord beatdown. Oh,
that is awesome battle.
I have it.
Which, that's one of the first ones I picked up when I started collecting comics again.
Some Ron Frenz work that a lot of people might not have is some Thor work, where he was Eric Masterson,
right,
holding the hammer as Thor temporarily. And then after that, he was given his own hammer, which is more mace-like, and it created, they gave him the powers of Thunderstrike, Odin did. It wasn't quite the power set that he had before.
Right.
It gave him a lot to be getting used to. So it's like a rookie all over again, but still massive power, just not the same amount of power, and not exactly the same powers. That was with friends also. I love it. Right. I was really sad when that became one of the Marvel hack jobs, because they had to cancel a bunch of books because they were going bankrupt. And unfortunately, it was doing pretty well, too.
Yeah, that That's not good. Trying to remember, because we were talking about Greg Land, and I was showing you Greg Land's work. Somebody I was talking about was pretty good.
So not Greg Land?
Jerome Pena, I like his stuff, but it's...
You skip right over that.
He's not. Well, we want to keep it positive this week. But Jerome Pena's work was really good, because he gets into good characterization, although... You know, saying how somebody should or shouldn't approach comic art is it varies, because there's styles and the different style preferences. You know, like Frank Quitely, I think I'm thinking of the right guy. He did Superman for All Seasons, and it's really nice, clean line artwork, but it's not that heavy artwork. And I think comics work best when there's a lot of heavy shadows, when there's a lot of, you know, there's got to be impact when something's going on, when something's really light. And use light line work, it doesn't hit you in the face.
Well, yeah, that's one thing I have noticed with some of the artwork today is it seems to be all lines are heavy. Whatever happened to the thickness of the line for the perspective? I don't tend to see that as much.
Right, now everything is either really heavy or lots of blacks. You know, like Brian Hitch, he tends to throw in a lot more black than he needs to. And I think it really underplays how good his art is. Because of, like, if you look, maybe this Fantastic Four one or anything else, like, all the characters have, like, black on their face with, like, you know, heavy cross-hatching, and you're just like, well, I don't think that works, because why is there a shadow there where there shouldn't be a shadow?
That's a good point. Okay, and just something we just caught wind of just a little bit ago, and so I don't know how much truth it is. We found it on Screen Rant. Their website says, Batman Arkham Origins developer working on the Superman video game?
Which would be sweet.
Oh, I would be one happy guy, because let's be honest, there's been a big lack of good Superman games. I mean, yeah. I've beaten the classic Nintendo 64 one, which is rated like one of the worst games of all time.
Yeah. Isn't it fly around in circles on that game?
You fly through hoops. It's very glitchy. You glitch through walls. It's just a cluster mess. It really is. But I had to beat it. It's, you know, just I had to play it and beat that game. Well, let's see, there was a Superman on Atari, there was a Superman on NES, and there were some other Superman ones too. There was one based on not the most recent movie, but the movie before that, and I don't think it did real well either.
Superman Returns?
Yeah.
Where you just run around and mope all the time?
pretty much.
Because playing the Arkham games, I thought, well, playing it because Batman floats around Gotham, I thought, well, this would be really sweet to play Superman. You know, where you can fly around and just do Superman type stuff.
Yeah, I mean, the article says recently evidence has been mounting suggesting that Warner Brothers Games Montreal, the studio behind Arkham Origins and other games that the series were developed by Rocksteady Studios, have been quietly developing a Superman game. The most recent developments surrounds the name drop of the title character, and it's hardest proof to date that the video game about the Man of Steel might really be on the way.
Holy shit!
CBM has been tracking the story for several weeks at this point, with the interest originally piqued by jobs posted by Warner Brothers Games Montreal connected to an open-world DC game described as the new IP for the next generation consoles.
That cool?
Yeah. You know, and I've been thinking about jumping into the Marvel Online one, given that, because I heard it's free or something like that.
Yeah, it's free. I've tinkered with it a little bit, and I started off with Daredevil. I'm almost thinking about trying a different character. I thought I'd try Daredevil because he's underpowered and see what he can do, but it seems like it'd be more fun to take somebody who's really powerful.
Do you just go to the Marvel website and find this and download it?
I don't remember. I think you just look at like Marvel Online and you can download it. Like there was a DC Universe Online game.
I played that.
Which I had played, and then in that one I think you get there's like three different types of characters you can pick. You got like Batman as a mentor, you got Superman as a mentor.
The Batman.
Wonder Woman. And of course I started off with Batman first. Who wouldn't? And then I created like a Green Lantern type character, and he follows Superman as his mentor.
I took a Batman type character, I had her two pistols. And she,
right.
You know, Batman, I'm using guns. Go. That doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but I did that.
Yeah, my guy was very much like a ninja type guy, just more like Nightwing, what Nightwing would be like. But following the Superman, you get a sense of, like, how much stuff you can do with Superman. Because, like, Brainiac has got all these robots running around doing all this stuff. And, you know, it's not just Lex Luthor. It's, like, really, how much of a challenge is Lex Luthor to Superman? And, you know, if he's going to trap somebody or something, it gets limited. But once you start adding characters like Brainiac or Darkseid or other Superman villains into a storyline, now suddenly Superman becomes much more interesting because he's not fighting, you know, just some guy who runs a corporation. Like, okay, great.
Now, I found that game a little boring, to be honest.
The DC Online?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think so.
I didn't pay for any special content, though.
It was fun. I think the fun of it is to be in the DC universe and to run around, and there's other characters. Like, when you get to the Justice League Tower, you can get up there and meet other characters. It was fun to kind of get that feel of being in the DC universe.
Yeah, I got lost in that tower. Tower was huge.
It was massive. And maybe that's part of the problem, is everything was so big in scale that it was easy to get lost.
Okay. And the Marvel one, is it like that too in scale?
It's big because you start like in an Avengers Tower, but you get a choice to, you know, pick a character. I don't think you really get to create a character.
Okay.
So you can pick, I think, like Daredevil, maybe Spider-Man, I don't remember. It's been so long, I'd have to play it, start it up again and see what would happen.
Alright, maybe I'll look it up and see if I can get in there and do a review on it. Lately I've been starting to try, I bought an Afterglow controller.
Right.
Because you can play computer games with it too, as well as PlayStation, so that's what I used for Halo, matter of fact, and you know, I'll be reviewing that controller probably in a little while, on the podcast, but on the website, I'll put a video probably for that, and maybe hopefully you can use the controller for that Marvel game, and I'll give it a shot on that as well.
Yeah, you can use the keyboard, just run up, down, left, right, so forth. So.
Yeah, I'm not a keyboard kind of guy though. I mean, I used to do that when I played Doom and stuff, but right. I have a hard time with it now, especially with the mouse, because when I got injured, I don't have that kind of thing with the hand anymore. The controller is more comfortable. Matter of fact, I even put an extension on one of the thumb things, and it helps me a lot, too.
Right.
So, but I'll look into that. Come on, give me Iron Fist or something.
Yeah, no kidding.
I'll take Luke Cage, Iron Fist, and beat
I think
some
if you
ass.
Wander around, you get the chance to pick up other characters, and they can swap out.
Matter of fact, if I'm going to run
up with you.
If I'm going to run Luke Cage, I'm going to go classic Luke Cage. I'm going to go yellow suit.
Oh, yeah. Sweet Christmas.
Someone says something to beat their ass.
Sweet Christmas. You got a guy with the 70s.
Oh, hell yeah.
Luke Cage.
Oh, I love that. All right. So until next time.
Keep out of the boss's way so you don't get blasted by freeze rays. Or
yes. Also, while you're at it, please make sure that you continue to check out our new website, thehenchmenslounge.com. And until next time, enjoy those comics and games. I don't think you're happy enough.